Okay, so Brother Koo and I are going to talk about the sanctification process. And brother, why are we talking about this? What happens all the time when we go out and do street ministry?
Well, we hear a lot on the street people saying when you bring up the Holy Spirit and you're supposed to be separate and coming out of the world and being not a friend of the world, James 4:4, but being separate from the world, they're saying, well, it's kind of a process. It's a journey. I'm on a journey. The Holy Spirit hasn't convicted me about this yet. So we're all cleaning up over time. And so that kind of sparked this discussion about the sanctification process.
Yeah, we get a lot of people that blame, they don't directly do this, but they're indirectly doing it. They blame the Holy Spirit and the Father and the Son and the Word when you say, hey, you've been a believer for 27 years? Yeah. How come you still keep a lot of sin? And you show them, because we're supposed to, reprove, correct, exhort, rebuke. You show them their sin and they go, well, sanctification's a process, like you said, haven't been convicted of it. I guess God's still working on me. And so after 27 years, they still live in a lot of sin and they just blame God. And we always tell them, you know, sanctification just isn't just on God and the Holy Spirit and on Jesus. You have a part in it. And they go, oh, no. We can do nothing. We do nothing. God does everything. And that's an absolute lie. God does not do everything for our salvation. Christ did everything we couldn't do for ourselves. But then the Bible calls us to do very often, doesn't it, brother?
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you just study out all of the action words that are for the saints in the New Testament, there's a lot of stuff we have to do, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, so I want to start out, the first verse I want to start out with is, we hear this a lot, Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. All right. So this is a true verse. God's word is true. God is doing a work in his people. By the way, the people we're talking about are born-again saints by the biblical gospel, the shed blood of Jesus, his resurrection, repentance out of sin and churchianity in the world. You're born of God by the Holy Spirit. You're striving in holiness and obedience, and you're enduring. That's the people we're talking to here. We're not really talking to people that claim Jesus but live in a whole bunch of sin. We're talking about the sanctification process that's a biblical process in biblical saints. And so God is doing a work in us. So that's part of the covenant that God calls us to. But brother, what's a covenant and do we have a part in the covenant?
Yeah, covenant is an agreement of two parties and each party has something they have to do. And we have a part to play in our blood covenant with the Lord. He said, this is my blood when he was giving the Lord's Supper the first time, shed for many for the remission of sins. It's the new covenant. It's the blood covenant. And we have a part to play. He gives us his Holy Spirit when we obey him. It says in Acts 5. And then we have to walk it out. We have to walk out the Christian light. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, he'll cleanse us of all of our sin.
Amen. Amen. And by the way, we haven't rehearsed this, anybody listening in. We don't rehearse this. We just have studied the word and we just talk these things through. Each of us made notes separately. And I think it's kind of neat how the Holy Spirit just uses the word and we just go through this. This isn't like a pastor's sermon where it's practiced and rehearsed. We just say, hey, we're going to talk about this topic. Make some notes. What do you want to bring? And we talk about it. So I think it's really awesome how the Holy Spirit works. So, yeah, God's doing a process and a work in us. But the issue is, if it fails, that part of the covenant, it's going to be us that fails. God doesn't fail. The Spirit doesn't fail. Christ doesn't fail. He doesn't lose any. The Word isn't going to fail. The weak link is who, brother?
It's always man.
Yeah, it's always man. It's always you. It's always me. It's going to we're the weak link. So it's a glorious thing. God gives us so many tools. The Word, Christ, the Spirit, he gives us, calls us to faith. He calls us to repentance. He gives us new life. You're born again. He calls us to endurance and gives us the grace to carry it all out. So we're called by God's word to use all these tools that he's given us. via the gospel that I preached. And that is what makes up the sanctification process. And if it fails, it's not on God. It's on us, and we have a part to do. So I just wanted to read a couple of verses, and any verses you have or whatever you want to chime in here, brother. The word sanctify appears first in Genesis 2, verse 3. God blessed the seventh day, sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. So that word in Hebrew, kodesh, it basically means the same thing in the words we're going to look at in the New Testament. To consecrate, sanctify, dedicate, to be hallowed, to be holy, to be separate, to be set apart. So in that case, God acted. No man did it. God acted and made that day holy. Okay? And then God later does things. Exodus 29:43. He said, "And there I will meet with the children of Israel, and the tabernacle shall be sanctified by my glory." So this is kind of an archetype, a little bit, of the Holy Spirit entering us and helping in the sanctification process. Because when his glory came into the tabernacle, which was a tent, God's glory sanctified all of that. So it's kind of an archetype of the Holy Spirit entering us, and he begins a work sanctifying us. How does that sound, brother?
That sounds awesome to me. That's yeah. An awesome illustration.
Yeah. So, and that's just a couple illustrations in the Old Testament of God doing the sanctifying. And then Deuteronomy 32:51, he says, "Because ye trespass against me," he's talking to Moses, "among the children of Israel at the waters of Meribim Kadesh, in the wilderness of Zin, because ye sanctified me not in the midst of the children of Israel." So Moses, and that's a whole other study, was a godly man, but he actually disobeyed God. And because of that, he had to die outside of the Holy Land. He didn't get to go in. And God says, "You didn't sanctify me." God, even in the Old Testament, he was sanctifying some things. He was telling man to sanctify some things. 1 Chronicles 15:14. "So the priests and the Levites sanctified themselves to bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel." So God told them how to dress, how to act, what to do. They did these things, and that sanctified them to do the work of the Lord. Brother, do you see a mirror and an archetype of that in the New Testament?
Oh, yeah. And a verse came to mind for me. It's in the New Testament. I don't know if I should share. You haven't got to the New Testament.
Oh, no, yet. We're going to. Right next, I'm going to go here. Let me say this. The word sanctify appears 20 times in the New Testament, about 60 in the Old, 20 times in the New. So in the Old Testament, we had God sanctifying some things and him telling man, sanctify this or sanctify that or sanctify yourselves. In the New Testament, we're going to see the same thing. God sanctifying, and then God enabling, calling, commanding us to carry out the sanctification process. Go ahead, brother.
Yeah, I was thinking about 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts.
Wow.
And be ready always to answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. So we're supposed to set apart the Lord. The Lord talks about in Revelation, your first love has to be the Lord. Set apart in your heart. And I think that's an awesome picture of what we're supposed to be doing and what the Lord wants us to do.
Yeah, there's a verb. There's an action. There's something we must do. And a part of that process of us being sanctified, God being sanctified to us, because we have to have reverence and fear of God, towards God, and lift up everything that we're doing in his name. And that's part of that sanctification process. John 17:16-17. These are the words of Jesus. "They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." Hey, brother, I have a question for you. So the word of God is the truth. Jesus, who's not a liar, just told us we're sanctified by it. Do we just like rub the Bible on us you know, over us, or do we just carry it, or do we just have one in our house and we go, look, the word, we're sanctified by the word? Is it just some mystical thing, brother, or what do we have to do with the word for it to sanctify us?
Well, like we went over that word covenant, and this thought came to mind when kind of putting together some notes of my own. The word of God, if we think about it, John 1, Jesus Christ, he's the word made flesh. He's the word of God. If we're in a covenant, a blood covenant with the word of God, the only way the word of God will sanctify us is if we rightly apply it, obey it, hear it, understand it, and work with the word of God, cleaning up our life, cleansing us of all sin. If we just see it, and we say, wow, yeah, we read through it. Maybe we memorize it and say, yep, that's the word of God. But we don't apply it to our life like it tells us to do. We're not really being sanctified by it.
Amen. Amen. Like churchianity that we're basically talking about, they keep a little bit of it. They carry their Bibles around, but they're not living by it. They're not feasting on it. They're not seeking and hungering and thirsting for righteousness. And they have been told that the sanctification process is some mystical thing that God's doing over them. And if you just carry your Bible, they won't tell you this, but if you just kind of loosely reference it and you go to an hour and a half church service on Sunday, that, you know, God's kind of doing this and God's going to take care of the rest. But that's not what Jesus said. In John 17:19, he says, "For their sakes, I sanctify myself." Hey, Jesus, God, but fully man in the flesh. He sanctified himself. We know what he did to make himself pleasing to the Father. That was obey the Father and the commands. Amen, brother?
Yeah, amen, definitely.
So he says he sanctifies myself that they also might be sanctified through the truth. I think this is beautiful. John 4:24, God is a spirit and he's seeking those who worship him in spirit and in truth. We can't even worship God without the truth. How can we be sanctified without the truth? If we don't know it, study it, apply it, and obey it, there's not going to be any sanctification, is there?
Nope. And he said, without me, ye can do nothing.
Amen.
And Jesus Christ is the word of God. If we're not applying the word of God to our life, if we don't have that change of heart, change of mind to obey the word of God, who is Jesus Christ, and are working to clean up our life, we can do nothing. And it's just such a beautiful, it's all connected. It's awesome.
Yeah, and I want to say this right now I should have said this earlier when we got to the New Testament. For all of our haters out there, we don't work our way to heaven. 2 Corinthians 5:21, Christ who knew no sin became sin for us so that we could be made the righteousness of God. We know we need Christ's perfect righteousness. We could never work our way to heaven. We know that Christ is working to sanctify us. We know the Father has done his part with the Son and the Word and the Spirit to sanctify us. What we're fighting for here is against the mindset that because God has worked to sanctify us, that we don't have to do anything on our part of the covenant. And that's an absolute, absolute lie. The truth that we're sanctified by, per Jesus, that means you got to obey the truth. And I love how God's word ties together. Hebrews 5:9 says, Jesus Christ made the way of eternal life for those who obey him. So we're helping in the sanctification process. His blood has cleansed us and made us whole, and we can get the perfect righteousness. But we're helping in the sanctification process by showing the fruit and evidence we're of him by walking and living in the truth. I got more scriptures on that as we go. So I want to make sure that it's clear. We're highlighting God is sanctifying. Christ is our righteousness. He's sanctifying us. But we're trying to tell people, if you really are of Christ, you have a part in this. And I like to use this example, husband and wife. It's another covenant. Like we have a blood covenant with Jesus. Would anybody, brother, in their right mind, get married? And then would anybody tell the husband, you know, you're married now. You have nothing to do. It's all on your wife. Whatever, if it fails or whatever, it's all on her. Or would anyone say to the wife, hey, you got married. It's all on him. He's the head of the house. You don't have to do anything. It's all on him. No, that would be crazy, wouldn't it, brother?
Yeah, that would be pretty foolish, especially if the other party said, well, let's work together. You do this, 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 this. And then that person still tells you, you don't got to do anything. That's literally what modern Christianity is doing. The Lord lists so many actions we have to do. Be holy as I am holy.
Amen.
In the New Testament. And churchianity has just made it into, you don't really have to do any of
yeah.
that.
And again, I want to be clear, that holiness, that obedience, that keeping the truth, that's fruit that we know him. It's not working our way to heaven. It's the fruit that you know him. And I love to ask people when we witness to them, when they sit there and they battle for their sin and their worldliness and their false doctrine, their man-made religion, I look them in the eye and I say, can I ask you a question? And they go, yeah. And I go, is the Holy Spirit live in you? And they go, well, yeah, I claim to be born again. And I go, will the Holy Spirit produce in you holiness, righteousness, and obedience to all of God's word, or does it produce worldliness, sin, and carnality? And they just look at you because they know they're up against a wall, and they go, holiness and obedience. And I go, then why are you defending sin and worldliness and standing in it and continuing to practice it? The Spirit doesn't do that. Let's move on. I got another verse here. The Spirit definitely helps in our sanctification process. We're not denying this. We need him. We need the Father. We need the Son. We need to shed blood. Romans 15:16. That I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of Gentiles might be acceptable. We don't accept God. He accepts us. Being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Spirit is definitely sanctifying us. But I have a question. How does he do that? The Bible teaches that the Holy Spirit does three main things. He convicts, he teaches, he comforts. I have a question, brother. Do you not have to submit in the work of the Holy Spirit in your life for him to convict, teach, and comfort you? Do you have a part in that, brother?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it doesn't do much good to be convicted about something and then not change your action or not do anything about it. And that's exactly what the Holy Spirit does. Yeah, comfort, convict, and teach. And we're supposed to, our role is to submit our will to it and follow after him because we know he's only has good in mind for us.
Amen. Amen. Good point, brother. Good point. And then I have another verse, 1 Corinthians 1:30. But of him ye are in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So we get that. We teach that. Christ is our sanctification, our redemption. But we, again, as we're discussing this, we fight against the people that say, you have no part in the covenant. You have nothing to do, because that is an absolute heretical, easy believe, greasy free grace mindset. When God has called us to do so much, Christ is working in us, but we have to be in him and producing fruit. Go read John 15. He said, who abides in me, remains in me, producing much fruit. I'm the vine, you're the branch. If you don't produce fruit, what happens to you, brother?
Oh, you're cut off.
You're cut off and thrown in the fire. That's your part of the covenant, and your part of the sanctification process is producing fruit to show that you're worthy and you're of him. And it's very clear in Scripture. Do you have other verses you want to share, brother?
Well, I could just share one portion of Scripture I have in my notes here. 2 Timothy 2:19-21. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity.
Yeah.
But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. That reminds me of the verse also that talks about, for it is by grace that you're saved through faith, and this not of yourself, is a gift of God, not lest any man should boast. But after that, it goes to talk about we're made for good works.
Amen.
And if we don't purge ourselves from the sin, if we don't, as it says in the scriptures, come out from among them, be ye separate, touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. If we keep touching the unclean things, the Lord is never going to use us. We're in willful sin, and we rest under the wrath of God. But if we sanctify ourselves and keep ourselves separate, we have to do it ourselves, then the Lord will use us for every good work.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, those are great verses. And again, I want to go back. We are absolutely set, and we teach that also the blood of Christ obviously sanctifies us. Hebrews 10:10, by which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Without that, we're hopeless. We're lost. We have no hope. But for this discussion, we really want to hammer home that we have a part in this, as we keep saying. God does not do it all. And I want to read this verse. 1 Thessalonians 4:3-4. And by the way, God has always been a covenantal God. God has always been a conditional God. His covenants always have conditions. You do this, I'll do this. You don't do this, I won't do this. You follow my commands, you're blessed. Go against my commands, you're cursed. God has always had covenants and conditions. To say we have no part in the sanctification process makes the new covenant a unconditional covenant. That is absolute heresy. Let me read 1 Thess 4:3-4. For this is the will of God. This is the will of God, brother. Even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. I don't know how much clearer you can get than that. God sanctifying us, the blood sanctifies us, the spirit sanctifies us, the truth sanctifies us. And then it says, now walk in that sanctification and flee and abstain from fornication and sin. In this case, it's fornication. It's pretty clear to me. Do you see that, brother?
Yeah, and the opposite side to that coin would be the people that don't flee and are just waiting for the Lord to flee the fornication for them, and they just stay in fornication and say, well, the Lord's not convicting me of fornication, and you see how wicked that is, because yeah, they love their sin, they love their darkness and unrighteousness. They're not fleeing it themselves.
Yeah.
No, God has to flee it for me.
Yeah. They're in one of two camps. They're either Matthew 7, they're workers of iniquity when God says, I never knew you. So they're either false converts, or they're the people that knew God but continue to live on in their willful sin and rebelled against God, and they're going to lose their souls because there is no sacrifice for willful sin. You cannot be, and this is a good place to talk about this. So the people that tell us, we have no effort in the sanctification process, works have nothing to do with your salvation, and we always ask the question, really, can I ask you a question? Yeah, they'll say. Can a practicing homosexual, drunkard, or just a liar, a practicing liar, will they inherit the kingdom of God? And they look at you and they go, well, most of them. We have met a few heretics that say, yeah, but most people go, well, no, you got to flee and stop that. But I thought you said we have no part in the sanctification process, because Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 6 that no adulterer, whoremonger, liar, all these things will inherit the kingdom of God. Such were some of you, but you've been washed, you've been cleansed, you repented, you know, you're changed, you're born again, a new creation. And so we have to flee these things as evidence that we know him, don't we?
Oh, yeah. And keep in mind, Christ is coming back to destroy all those who know not God and obey not the gospel.
Amen.
And where he's going to be coming and setting up his eternal kingdom of righteousness, purity, truth, people are not going to be able to drag their sin that they love into the next life. So unless you're fleeing it right now and fleeing all appearance of evil, there's a good chance you don't love the kingdom to come, because if you love the kingdom to come, you would be fleeing sin and pursuing righteousness and holiness.
Amen.
And doing the best you can at it. No one's going to be sinlessly perfect. We know that. We need Jesus' perfect righteousness, his blood, to cover us, because we even if we do our best, we're not going to reach his standard. But yep. We should be striving for it. That's the key.
Amen. Amen, brother. Amen. I have another verse. 2 Thess 2:13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, beloved, our brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation, ready, through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. So there's the Spirit working in us, but what's the fruit of that? Belief in the truth. Brother, I have a question. If you believe the truth, do you obey it and follow it?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
how can you believe Jesus, the truth, and not obey and follow him, which is basically what churchianity does? They say they believe Jesus, but they don't follow and obey him.
No, that's that head knowledge belief. Oh, yeah, I read the scriptures. Oh, yeah, you got to repent. Oh, yeah, you got to be born again. And they agree with the gospel. They agree that you have to obey Christ, yet it's kind of like reading, I like the verse where it talks about a man looking into a mirror and then going away and forgetting what he looked like.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like that. They look into the perfect law of liberty, which is the scriptures, and say, wow, yeah, I got to obey that. But then they turn around and just not obey it.
Yeah, and they remind me of, again, we're talking about churchianity here. They remind me of the people of 2 Timothy 3, 2 Timothy 4, when Paul says, in the last days, they will not endure sound doctrine. They have the appearance of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. Guess what we hear all the time, brother? We hear, whoa, I can't stop sinning. I can't live holy. I don't have power to do that. But yet they're showing up at church. We see them all the time standing outside when we're on the public sidewalk carrying their Bibles. But they don't have the power to leave sin, when the Bible tells us that Christ gives us the victory and the Spirit gives us the ability to overcome sin. Look what the Bible commands we do. 2 Corinthians 7:1. I just did a teaching on this yesterday. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us have God cleanse us completely. No, it doesn't say that. Let us cleanse ourselves. Is that us doing it, brother?
Oh, yeah, that's us.
From all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness. Holiness is sanctification in the fear of God. Look at what the word commands us to do. Flee and abstain from sin. The Bible tells us to flee from all appearance of evil, does it not?
Yep.
Yeah. And so look what it's telling us to do. Flee from all filthiness of the flesh, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Holiness and sanctification are very close to the same meaning. Set apart, to be consecrated. And so we're called to do that for the glory of God, and that is all part of the sanctification process. God's working, the Spirit's working in us. Christ already did his one-time perfect act for us, obeying the law perfectly, becoming our perfect lamb. And then he says, now, come follow me. And you're part of the sanctification process, obeying me. When you do fall into sin, choose sin, repent, I'll cleanse you, as 1 John 1:7 says. But we must be in the light, and then we have fellowship, and then we're cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. You don't get cleansed when you're walking in sin and darkness, do you?
No. And I love, and the verses came to mind, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And his rod and his staff comforts me. His rod keeps me in line. He keeps me on the narrow path. Like we said, the Holy Spirit convicts you, teaches you. But you also, even if he hits you with the rod and tries to keep you in the path, your will has to be to, oh, I got to get back in line. Otherwise, if you just wander off wherever you want to go, and he's not going to keep beating you with the rod. He's going to say, okay, you want to take that route? You can go that way. But
yeah.
It is our will.
Amen.
That's the big key.
Amen. Amen. You mentioned before that God calls us to be holy. 1 Peter 1, 15-16. Would God call us to this if we can't do it? I don't think so. He's not an evil, wicked God in this way. But as we, but he, which has called you, is holy. So be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Brother, would God call us to be something that we can't strive to be?
No.
No, he wouldn't. He wouldn't. So we're called to be holy. Again, that's very similar to the sanctification process, to be made like Christ, to be made ready for eternity to come. And then I had another verse talking about, yeah, Jesus definitely sanctifies for us. Ephesians 5, 26 through 27, because I don't want to get out too far and everybody say, oh, you're just talking about all your works. No, no, no. We've been talking about through here. Jesus sanctifies us, that he might sanctify and cleanse it. Let's talk about the body with the washing of the word. Brother, how does the word wash us? Is it like a mystical thing that happens without our effort? We don't do anything? Or how does the word wash us, brother?
Well, it's that, like we said, the covenantal agreement. The Lord played his part perfectly, faithfully. He's always faithful. But we have to obey the word. We have to be cleansed by the word. We have to submit to the word. The Lord said, the meek will inherit the earth. That word meek means submitted
yep.
to the word of God.
Amen. Amen. And this verse continues. So we're washed by the word, 27, that he might present it to himself, a glorious ecclesia, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Hey, brother, how do we live in a way that's holy without blemish? God is like controlling us, or do we study and follow the word, and then do we purge out sin like the Bible's telling us, and then do we walk according to his doctrines and commandments? Isn't that how our life is made holy and without blemish?
Oh, yeah. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. If we're not using the word to keep ourselves from the snares of Satan's kingdom, to keep ourselves sanctified, to keep ourselves holy, we're going to be stumbling around in darkness. So, yeah, the word is absolutely necessary to keep us from sin, sanctified.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. And I love what Jude says. I didn't write this verse down, but I love it. So to be sanctified in God means we got to be in the love of God. Jude says, keep yourself in the love of God. How do you do that? Stay in the ark, the spiritual ark. I did a teaching on that not long ago. Jesus Christ. We get in Jesus. We remain in Jesus. We work and labor as fruit that we know him. We stay in him. We abide. We remain. We produce fruit. We're safe from the wrath of God because we're in the ark. We're not perfect. We're in the perfect ark. But when we sin willfully and we don't do anything and we become idle and we don't bear good fruit, we're no longer, it's no longer fruit that we're of and in the ark. We've probably jumped out somewhere along the line doing our own thing. Autonomy. I got to do what I want to do. I'm going to be a Baptist, or I'm going to be a Catholic, or I'm going to be a heretical house church. And we're not keeping his doctrines, his teachings, his instructions for his body. And I was thinking about, I got a couple of verses here from Paul and Peter that tell us what we're supposed to be doing. 1 Timothy 6, 12 and 14. Paul says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold onto eternal life. Lay hold onto eternal life, brother. We got a part in this. We can grab onto it. Whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Ready? That thou keepest this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Does that sound like a do verse, brother?
Yeah, that definitely sounds like a do verse, yeah.
Yeah. And then 2 Peter 3:14-17. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found in him in peace, without spot, blameless. Therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, you know this stuff, you better be doing it. Beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Hey, we can be on the sanctification process. Peter tells us if we're not careful, we can fall from our own steadfastness and go into sin, can't we?
Oh, yeah, that's why it's important to exhort one another daily so that you can keep the body of Christ from the deceitfulness of sin.
Amen, amen. And that's what we strive to do with saints that we're united to face, and that's what we're striving for. And then we edify everybody on our website with these teachings and studies and things like that. I have another verse from Paul, Romans 2, 6 through 8. Let's see. Does this tell us what we should be doing, brother? Who will render to every man according to his deeds, to them who by patience, countenance, in well-doing, seek for glory, honor, and immortality and eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath. You got two courses. You're going to follow Christ and obey him, and it's fruit that you're walking towards eternal life, or you're going to follow sin and flesh to unrighteousness and sin that leads to death and judgment. That's the only two paths, isn't it, brother?
Yeah, either you're seeking the Lord or you're seeking death and destruction. There's only two paths.
Yeah, yeah. And I just have one more verse from Revelation 22 that I thought I would end with, but do you have any other thoughts or scriptures that you wanted to share, brother, talking about sanctification?
I just wanted to share one thought we had talked about today.
Yeah.
When being conformed to the image of Christ, you're shining the light of Christ, and a lot of people get that mixed up because Satan has completely contorted that with churchianity and everything. Shining the light of Christ is not just being nice to people, not just being fleshly happy or joyful or fleshly thankful for things and whatnot. It's coming out of the world, being holy, separate, set apart, being hated by the world, being persecuted by the world. That's showing the light of Christ, because that's showing to the world that Christ overcame the world. If you're not coming out of the world,
yeah,
if you're not being holy, separate, set apart, sanctifying yourself, what are you showing? Because Christ said, I've overcome the world. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And we have his spirit within us. We should be overcoming the world, overcoming sin. And I just wanted to make that point that a lot of people think that shining the light of Christ or being sanctified is wearing a cross necklace or saying I'm a Christian, but it's really keeping yourself unspotted from the world, which is pure religion.
Yeah, amen, amen. James 1. I like what you just said, sanctifying yourself, and people are going to go, oh, those works-based legalists. Oh, no, no, no. We're sanctifying ourselves by following and obeying the one that fully sanctifies us. Think about that. We're sanctifying ourselves by following the only one that can fully sanctify us, Jesus Christ. That makes perfect sense. It's what the Bible teaches all over, Old Testament and New. He's our perfection and our salvation. Cling on to him as proof that you want it. Hold on to the end. Obeying him is fruit that you know him. That is the proof of the covenant that God has called us to, and it's all over the Old Testament. It's all over the New Testament. I wanted to read this. Revelation 22, verse 12, and then 14 through 16. We're studying through the book of Revelation. I've been spending a lot of time in it. Jesus talking here. Jesus himself. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work shall be. Ready? And then he tells us who these people are. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates of the city. That's heaven. That's God's kingdom to come, the new Jerusalem. But outside are dogs, sorcerers, whoremongers, murderers, idolaters, really bad brunch there, and whoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have set my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and the morning star. Look what Jesus thought of sanctification. He already told us. He only used the word once that I know of. John 17, thy word sanctifies them. Thy word is truth. Sanctify them in thy truth. Here he says, you know how you're in the truth? Following and keeping the commandments of God. And he's coming to reward every man according to his deeds. And like you said, 2 Thessalonians 1, he's coming in fire. And he's going to separate all those that don't know God and don't obey the gospel. I don't know how you can read the Old and the New Testament seeking truth, not eisegesis wanting to twist truth, seeking truth. I don't know how you can read it and not see God has a covenant. It's about two parties. We have a part to do. He says, come, whosoever, repent, John 3, I'll make a way for your life. Now follow me and obey me as fruit that you know me, that my spirit's in you, that the sanctification process is working, that you're a child of the Most High. How can you miss that, brother? I just don't get it.
Yeah, I don't know. If you really believe that Jesus is the way, you'll walk on the way.
Amen.
I guess it's just, you will see the fruit that you're walking on the way, and the fruit is that sanctification, so I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And I like what we ask people when we go to, whether it's a worldly church or a corrupt festival or whatever, and we ask them, do you think Jesus led you here? And they look at you and we're like, Jesus didn't lead you to the NFL football game. Jesus didn't lead you to this worldly corrupt church full of heresy. Jesus didn't lead you to come to this glutton fest. Jesus says, come follow me. John 17, my sheep are not of the world. They hear my voice. They follow me. They're not of the world. We follow Jesus. That's the sanctification process. And again, part of it is his work in us, his perfect work for us at the stake, shedding his blood. It's a joint effort between the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, Christ is the Word, and then us unified, like you said before, bending our will to then obey him and walk, and we take part in that. We take part. We can't take credit. The big difference here, brother. We can't take credit for the sanctification process. We take part in it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and his commandments are not grievous either. It's a real blessing to take part of it. It's a blessing to suffer for Christ. I mean, think about how great of an honor that is to be sanctified out of the world and suffer for Christ, who is the creator of everything.
Amen.
Yeah. That's a pretty big honor.
Yeah, we're different. We're called out of the world. He said, the world will hate you for my name's sake. He said, rejoice when they revile and lie and say all manner of things against you for my name's sake. So we get to rejoice in that. Guess what? That doesn't happen if you aren't part of the sanctification process, willingly removing your life, your career, your worldly church, your pride and vanity in your dress, your aspirations for the world. None of that happens if you don't willingly say, Lord, none of me, all of you, strip me down, and then you are a vessel to be used by the Master. But if we hold on to our own vessel, none of that's going to take place, is it?
No, it's that bending of the will, yep.
Amen, brother. So yeah, that was my thoughts on the sanctification process. It definitely is of Christ. He did it perfect. It's of the Father. It's of the Spirit. It's of the Word. But we have a part. And these people and pastors that have convinced people, oh, you can do nothing. You can't have a part in it. It's all of God. No, that's an absolute lie. Read the Scriptures. Ask the Father for truth. If you really want to know the Father, come through the biblical gospel, be enlightened by the Spirit, and the Spirit will beckon you to come, obey, seek the kingdom of God. Matthew 6:33, I'll leave it here. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That means doing what's right before God, and everything else will be added unto you. I live by that verse, and I'm going to die by that verse, and it's never going to let us down. Amen, brother?
Amen. We live by every word out of the mouth of God, and one of my favorite verses, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me.
Amen. And I love that. And the Father's will is that we obey him and follow the Son, preach Christ crucified, sanctify ourselves in his word, in his truth, come out of the world and be ye holy. And that's our call. That's our command. That's our charge. And guess what? Last point. If you're really born of God, That's what you love to do. You want to do it. Like you said, it's not burdensome to live holy. Oh, your flesh hates it. Your flesh wants to live worldly and carnal, but the spirit man rises up and says, this is glorious, this empowers me, I want this, I want to glorify God, I want to show that I'm different than the world so other people can come to know this glorious Savior. If you find yourself a drudgery, trying to sanctify and walk in His truth, there's a good chance you've never been even born of God.
Amen.
Amen. All right, brother, we'll leave it right there. Awesome job. This will be in the Ecclesia gathering area to edify everyone for many, many years to come, Lord willing. God be praised.